Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Monday to us all. You could be a part of this fine program, 855-752-4842. Lots going on today. Of course, another attempted assassination, apparently, of the former president in Florida. We're going to get there, get some breaking news and the details as we know them to date. Also, J.D. Vance was out on the Sunday talk shows, and boy, if you missed it, we're going to bring you some of the highlights, just working hard on the board and on the phones. Thank you, Jess. Tim Walz in the great state of Wisconsin recently have some sound from him. And of course, we have the Go for the Green or Gold contest, doing some radio contests here, folks. Now, I heard Maggie teasing this, so I figured we just get this one out there right away. So here's the deal, folks. It's our Go for the Green or Gold text contest to win at Civic Media. This hour's keyword, are you ready for it, Jess? Here we go. The hour's keyword is...
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Jewelry.
Jewelry. Shiny.
I used to wear lots of gold jewelry, but then my kids started making fun of me, so now I don't wear it anymore.
Oh, bring it back, man.
I know. Jewelry. They used to call me Uncle Nino of the 90s. I had an Uncle Nino in Detroit. He ran the Curly's Fruit Markets around Detroit. He was very, very tall, curly-haired Italian guy with all the medallions and gold. So the word today is jewelry for the gold, for the green and gold. So here's what you do. You download the Civic Media app. You find your local station. I know Dom Salvia Show's on lots of stations. Find your local station. Use the text button at the bottom of the screen to send the keyword jewelry for your chance to win in this statewide contest. We got hourly winners, which will either be $100 in cash or gold jewelry, which is also the word, jewelry. And a grand prize, a pair of indoor club level tickets to see the green and gold in Green Bay Monday, December 23rd against New Orleans. So there you go, folks. Jewelry. Go get the super cool Civic Media app and play along. We'll remind you a little bit more. You got a whole hour to participate and win. Oh, okay. So what a world. Some crackpot decides he's going to take a shot, I guess, at the former president. Here's the updates that I have them from the Washington Post. Apparently, he appears to have been in the area of the former president's golf course for about 12 hours before a Secret Service agent spotted his rifle and opened fire. Now, apparently, the service agent, they're doing their rounds, they're inspecting. This was successful in some regards. I guess he still got close, but they caught him. The Secret Service agent spotted the rifle, like sticking out of the bushes kind of a thing, you know, the scope. Opened fire, and the dude ran. The suspect was 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Ruth, R-O-U-T-H, fled the scene, left behind his phone. that's not good. I think they're going to get you, Randy. Ryan. He left his phone, his loaded SKS-style rifle with a scope and some food, according to the complaint. I mean, 12 hours in Florida. That's got to be hot. I wonder if he had any water.
Concerned for his well-being. You know,
a six-pack of beer, something to keep him going. Law enforcement officials found the cell phone number in one of his Facebook posts, were able to quickly track his phone data, which suggested he could have been hiding in the bushes from around 2 a.m. until around 1:30 p.m. when the Secret Service saw him. He appeared before a judge today, charged with two crimes, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon and possession of a firearm with an obliterated serial number. Ooh, that sounds sketch.
Yeah. Yeah, no one does that for any good reason.
Right.
Obliterated.
I was going to burn my fingerprints, too, but I decided that might hurt too much. That might hurt too much.
No, just burn the fingerprints off the gun instead.
The serial number makes it harder for authorities to track the weapon. It could mean a slower process to determine how the alleged assassin wannabe obtained it. The FBI agent who wrote the affidavit supporting the criminal complaints that the type of weapon has not been manufactured in Florida, it's not manufactured in Florida, and agent suspects it was obtained from another state or abroad. Yeah, you think? I wonder if this is a time where we should start talking about, is it too late? Or is it too early?
I think currently we're at the thoughts and prayers stage still.
Okay. Well, since nothing happened, we can move beyond that and go right directly to
doing something. Yeah. You want to do something, Dom?
We don't have to worry about thoughts and prayers. So let's address what we know from this guy. How did he get the weapon? Apparently he was a felon. You're not supposed to have a weapon. Well, I mean, if the laws were enforced, right? Well, maybe they weren't. What else can we tell you from the Washington Post? Prosecutors argue he's a flight risk. Yeah, probably. Trying to determine whether or not he should stay in custody. Yeah, I mean, I would. I mean, he's already a felon with a weapon, you know, looking with a scope, trying to maybe shoot the former president. That'd be a guy you don't want on the street.
Probably.
The Post goes on to report, if the case is determined to be an attempted assassination, it would be the second one on Trump in less than 10 weeks. Yeesh. The complaint makes no mention of whether Ruge allegedly fired or attempted to fire. Now, I have seen updated reporting on this that he did not get any rounds off, according to CNN. Let's see.
That is correct as far as what I have seen as well.
All right. Witnesses saw him fleeing about 45 minutes. Law enforcement pulled him over as he was speeding north along Interstate 95. When officers pulled him over, he asked if he understood why he was being stopped. According to the complaint, Ruth allegedly responded that he understood.
I mean, at least he didn't try to act like, oh, no.
Whoa.
Was I going five over?
Did I leave my blinker on, officer?
Oh, man. This happens all the time.
Now, this is what got me. Martin County Sheriff William Snyder told local station WPEC on Monday that when his deputies spotted Ruth driving along I-95, quote, he was smart. He was just driving with the Florida traffic. I think he may have thought he got away with it. Now, folks, I've been traveling to Florida a lot over my life, and a lot of times I've driven down. I went down with the kids a couple of times, and one time we flew down, and I think it was Midwest, still handing out the chocolate chip cookies back then. And
the good days.
Yeah. They had some sort of flight problem with their planes, and they pulled them all, and they flew them all back to Milwaukee, and they flew our plane back empty. Now, I guess I'd rather have that than, like, oh, we'll wing it, throw the people on there, see if we get them home.
Oh, boy.
But that was interesting. So we ended up staying a few nights. It was, you know, lucky I had family there and the resources to do so. But after that, I was thinking, oh, man, that flying stuff, especially with young kids, that was a lot. So we just started jumping and driving down. I'm a road guy, man. You know, I was born in Detroit, grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin, one of the top cities in the country, apparently, according to some new surveys. So I was a road guy. So, you know, jumping in and driving down to Florida, not a terrible task. You know, 18 to 22 hours, I guess, depends on how long you drive and if you go straight through and what the weather's like and the traffic and all that. But once you get to Florida, you know, like the normal rules of the road that you would follow do not apply.
No.
So when the sheriff says he's, you know, just following, you know, the traffic of Florida, it makes me think he's either going like 30 miles an hour in the hammer lane, or he's, you know, bobbing and weaving, zipping in and out because there are no rules to the road in Florida. Just my humble opinion. What else do we got here? The sheriff also said this. How does a guy from not here get all the way to Trump International, realize the former president is golfing, and is able to get a rifle in that vicinity? Is this guy part of a conspiracy? ? Is he a lone gunman? If he's part of a conspiracy, then this whole thing really takes on a very ominous tone.
That's not problematic phrasing at all.
Sure, it would bring an ominous tone, but if there's no evidence or proof of that yet, and certainly it should be investigated. But when sheriffs talk like that, it plants that seed. Like, could it be? Well, of course it could be. But if there's no evidence or anything yet to that point, why even go there?
Especially
right
less
now?
Than 24 hours since.
Let's
have a full, thorough investigation. Let's not go immediately to, I feel it in my bones.
It could be. CNN also reporting that the FBI is still exploring whether the suspect acted alone. The man suspect. Our investigation will determine that. Yeah, no kidding. Or just ask the sheriff. He's got some questions. But he did add, we do not have information that he's been acting with anyone else at present. Well, thank you for that clarification, FBI. Perhaps the sheriff should read your report. What else do we have on this topic? So the president, we have some sound from the president on this. Let's hear a little bit of what President Biden had to say in this regard.
For sure.
Before I begin, I want to make a quick reference. The attempted assassination against our former president in Florida yesterday. I commend the Secret Service for the expert handling of the situation. And the former president is protected from harm and the subject is in custody. I've always condemned political violence. I always will in America. In America, we resolve our differences peacefully at the ballot box, not at the end of a gun. America suffered too many times the tragedy of an assassin's bullet. It solves nothing and just tears the country apart. We must do everything we can to prevent it and never give it any oxygen.
And never give it any oxygen. Pretty stark in his assessment. Appreciate the leadership from the president in this regard. Of course. Maybe it's not of course for some people. But no, we do not condone political violence, religious violence, any violence. That's not okay. It's never okay. And I think the president was very clear on that. Also, the vice president, she chimed in as well. Her quote, "I am deeply disturbed by the possible assassination attempt of former President Trump today. As we gather the facts, I will be clear. I condemn political violence. We all must do our part to ensure that this incident does not lead to more violence. I am thankful for that former President Trump is safe. I commend the U.S. Secret Service and law enforcement partners for their vigilance." Vice President Harris speaking on this today. Somber, certainly. Another gut check for this country? Yes. Is it a conspiracy? According to the FBI, no indication of it so far. According to the sheriff, you never know. I'm just asking questions. And Donald Trump had some comments on this today as well. As you can imagine, I believe the fundraiser emails are already going out. I'll get to my emails later, I'm sure, and I'll be loaded up. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Going to get to some of your calls as well. You can join us 855-752-4842. Don't forget the goal for the green or gold text to win contest. The word is jewelry. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just working hard on the board for you, talking about this attempted assassination of the former president. And as mentioned, doesn't take long. Donald Trump's campaign sent an email Sunday evening touching on the assassination attempt against the former president earlier in the day. Man, talk about a rapid response team. The message includes a link that takes supporters to a site where they can donate the Trump campaign. A quote from the email: "My resolve is only stronger after another attempt on my life. I will never slow down. I will never give up. I will never surrender." Is that Cheap Trick? The email includes two large red mega buttons. Clicking on them takes supporters to the site where they can donate. Site includes another message from Trump. The message included suggested donation amounts of up to $3,300.
Oh,
I mean, if you could swing it, why not? Yeah, yeah, please. $3,300. We'll take it. And I the cashing in is so immediately just in some ways it cheapens what really happens.
Of course, it does.
And he's doing it. It's their campaign that they're doing it. And I just I mean, I get it. I guess you got to raise money. Harris is raising gobs of money, more than Trump. So you got to do what you can. But that's fine. I mean, you know, campaigns are going to try to raise money. That's what they do. But there's more to it. NBC News reporting that Trump and his allies are fanning political flames. Fanning the flames. In a message posted to multiple social media platforms on Monday, Trump accused his opponent, Vice President Kamala Harris, and President Joe Biden of taking, quote, politics in our country to a whole new level of hatred. He said their rhetoric is responsible for threats and violence against them, even though they routinely denounce political violence and did so on Sunday. And we just played some and read a quote from the vice president.
Indeed.
Donald Trump also tweeted out, Truthy socialed out, I hate Taylor Swift.
Good luck with that, man.
What? I mean, you hate Taylor Swift? And he's just accusing his political opponents, who we've just read the quotes, played the quotes of them denouncing violence, denouncing political violence, thankful that the vice president is alive and well and got no harm from this attempt, and thanking the law enforcement and Secret Service for their efforts. But according to Trump and these other allies, it's all Joe Biden's fault. And it wasn't just him. Elon Musk, if we can get into
Leon.
I'm sorry, Leon. The very, very rich Leon Musk. Initially, a little backstory to this, over the weekend, of course, this assassination attempt. So apparently on the X, the Twitters, a graphic designer posed a question that Leon responded to. Why they want to kill Donald Trump? Question mark. And Leon said, posted a remark, a reply saying, no one is even trying to assassinate Biden/Kamala. And he concluded that with a thinking face emoji. Now, apparently that didn't go over very well.
Shocking.
No, man, you don't even play like
no,
this.
No, you say this that you denounce political violence and you leave it.
And you leave it. Don't do that. Denounce it multiple times if you must. Wall Street Journal also writing about this, that after the assassination post drew outrage on X, the billionaire, well, he did what all billionaires finally do, deleted the post and wrote several more trying to walk it back.
What a brave man.
Yeah. Well, one lesson I've learned is that just because I say something to a group and they laugh doesn't mean it's going to be all that hilarious as a post on X. He added, turns out that jokes are way less funny if people don't know the context and the delivery is plain text. If you don't know the context and the delivery is plain text. Oh, well, I get the context, man. And the delivery, those are the words that you said. Now, maybe you said it with a smirk. Maybe you're trying to be snarky.
Oh, it was sarcastic.
But you own X, man. You're the man on Twitter, and you're posting things like that when you like Trump in your own way, cheapen an assassination attempt, and somehow like turn it on like Trump and his allies are doing. Oh, it's all the talk from Kamala Harris and Joe Biden that they're ratcheting up the rhetoric. When Trump goes out there, talks about hating Taylor Swift, talks about Haitian migrants eating the pets. They're eating the dogs.
They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets.
And of course, not true. Not true. I know people want to think it's true and people are concerned about, you know, migrants. Okay, these are legal migrants from Haiti. Never mind that Trump wanted to deport them to Venezuela. I mean, we could go all, but let's just summarize it to say that Donald Trump is not very inclusive and loving in his communications. Yeah, when something like this happens, and so supremely unfortunate, I mean that. This is terrible for this country. This is terrible for our discourse. This is terrible in every way, shape, and form. Thankfully, the president was not harmed. Thankfully, the Secret Service caught the guy before he got a shot off this time. But Donald Trump's own rhetoric is apparently to him totally fine. Absolutely fine. But if you say that he's a danger to democracy, as evidenced by his effort to overthrow the government with the slow coup and the active coup at January 6th, the guy says he did not lose by a whisker. Well, I was kidding when I said I lost by a whisker. He is still to this day denying that he lost the election. Well, that seems to me somebody who is a danger to democracy. If someone says they want to be dictator for a day, that seems very concerning to me. Someone who says you got to fight like hell, you're not going to have your country anymore, and I'll go with you to the Capitol. Come on, who's with me? Let's go. Those are very, very concerning things, and they go against really democracy in the core of what self-governance is. So while those are very harsh criticisms, no doubt, and those are not criticisms that should be leveled against anybody arbitrarily for no reason. There are reasons for this. And I think that kind of criticism for his acts, what he himself has yet to face any consequence for, because that trial, you know, got bumped up till after probably the new year, assuming he doesn't win and it actually goes to trial. Maybe someday we'll find out who he said to whom and what in the days and hours leading up to January 6th. And what he did for over three hours while his supporters attacked and injured, 140 officers, and some of them died. That seems to me to be something that if you care about democracy and representative government and governed by and for the people, yeah, that's something that can be and should be highlighted. But nowhere are they saying that Donald Trump should be murdered or executed or any of those things. No, man. No, if Donald Trump breaks the law, he should face justice like every single one of us. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Going to get to your calls, 855-752-4842. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open. Beef Patriot will get there shortly at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is a little bit more from the NBC News on the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. We read some of this already, just a little bit more on the bone here. It was clear, according to NBC, by midday Monday, that Trump and his brain trust have no intention of dialing back on hot rhetoric with less than 2 months left before Election Day. 50 days today. 50.
Oh boy.
50. 5-0. In turning so fast to Biden and Harris, Trump skipped past appeals for sympathy and even a perfunctory call for calm or unity.
Well, he did send out that one campaign email that he ended with peace, unity,
and $3,300. So we know a little bit of the backstory. Here's what one of the advisors said. There won't be many noticeable changes or anything too major. He is not frazzled or shaken by this, and considering what he has been through, relatively relaxed. But as Trump avoided a brush with death that could have come as close as a sniper's bolt that clipped his ear at a Butler, Pennsylvania rally in July, he once again had a decision to make about his own response. Try to seize political advantage from the threats to his life or play them down in order to discourage future violence. It took less than 24 hours for him to choose the former, though there are signs of division within his ranks about his approach. You think? Some Trump allies believe that the campaign squandered an opportunity for unity following the first assassination attempt. Instead, Trump ramped up his anti-Harris rhetoric, which coincided with him losing traction in polls over the summer. Even independents were like, this can't stand. You can't assassinate a political candidate, said one former Trump advisor. And then all of a sudden, it's back to the clown show. And while his campaign's top advisors focused on his security and that of his aides, In a message sent to staff Sunday night, his fundraising team pressed donors to give money in the immediate aftermath of the incident. On Monday, he repeated an assertion Trump made, in an ABC News debate last week that Biden and Harris are responsible for him being targeted. Here's what he said to Fox News Digital. Their rhetoric is causing me to be shot at when I am the one who is going to save the country and they're the ones that are destroying the country, both from the inside out.
I'm Abby Yerglow.
It doesn't seem like he's dialing it down.
I mean,
if the concern is the rhetoric, then perhaps you shouldn't tell your supporters, Trump, that Biden and Harris are destroying the country and where it's all going to hell. We're going to be a third world country and we're going to have World War III if I lose. I mean, those seems like pretty extreme, you know, sensitive, angry, threatening kinds of statements.
Mm-hmm.
Harris, as mentioned, we get a quote here, another one from her. She took a different tact. As we gather the facts, I will be clear. I condemn political violence. We must do our part to ensure that this incident does not lead to more violence. I am thankful that former President Trump is safe. 855-752-4842. Let's get to some of our callers. Thank you for being patient. Thank you for playing along. Cindy from Appleton, you're up. Welcome, Cindy. What do you got for us?
Well, first of all, I think if the shoes were in a different position here, Trump would probably be calling anybody that tried to shoot Harris or Biden suckers and losers for missing. Seriously.
Well, let's hope we never have to ever think about what Trump's response would be to an attempted assassination on anybody ever.
Well, I think that's what it would be. And that man, honest to God, he's so delusional. He really needs to be put in some kind of a mental facility and locked away, not with his finger close to the red button. And, you know, I think some of the Republicans kind of have brought this on themselves because they are the ones who are so opposed to sensible gun legislation that might weed out some of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they kind of bring this on themselves.
Thanks for the call, Cindy. I think it's a perfect time to talk about gun safety laws and how this guy evaded them. I mean, if you can go online and get yourself a gun, regardless of your conviction status as a felon or whatever the case is, we don't know yet how he got it. Apparently, the serial numbers were obliterated.
Obliterated.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions there, certainly. And is it a failure of our gun laws? Absolutely, I would think. You had a felon with a gun, with a scope, ready to take a shot at the president, apparently. So, since thankfully, nothing happened. No one was hurt. No bystanders. Like, even in the Butler, man, some people got shot, man. Somebody died. One of his supporters. I mean, that's terrible. His family. I mean, oh, my God. This is, you never, ever want to go down this road. And when folks talk so just casually about, civil, we're going to go to civil. I'm like, man, I don't think you get it. Because whatever you think is going to happen during that civil war isn't going to happen. And some of those terrible things are going to happen to you and people you love. That's why we engage in self-governance and we engage in the civil discourse. And it can get passionate. Hell, it should get passionate. But not to the level where you're taking shots, literal shots at your political opponents. 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome, Mark. What do you got?
Yeah, I've quit wearing my Captain America decking Donald Trump T-shirt simply because of that. I don't want anybody to consider that actually a threat. And I bought that years ago now, right after Trump got elected.
Yeah.
I mean, and to try to tamp things down a little bit on a personal level. But Trump has been calling for violence against his political opponents since early on, since he was running in 2016 and during his any campaign rally he was holding, he was calling the press the enemy of the people, and if somebody's protesting there, beat them up, or
knock the hell out of them. I'll pay for your attorney's fees, I believe is something he said.
And calling his opponents, in this case, Biden and Harris, they're going to destroy the country. We have to take our country back from the evil, from the evil Democrats and all this. And, his language is actually calling for violence in so many cases. And I, that And, you know, Biden and Harris, and Harris now is, say, calling, saying, we have to vote to protect our democracy. You know, I don't hear her calling for Donald Trump's head. I don't call her calling for the heads of, you know, all Trump's supporters. I don't call them the enemies of the people, that even though some of them actually are enemies of the public.
But that's the point, though, Mark. There's other words. You can describe and you know, dress down your political opponents in so many ways. You don't need to go to that level. When you lack the articulation, then you get down to the playground bully stuff, and they're bad jokes, just an old shtick. And he's been doing it over and over and over again. Yeah, thanks for the call, Mark. And certainly the rhetoric that he started out with has continued. And as you know, he's starting to pull behind a little bit in the polls, and he did very poorly in his debate against the vice president.
Not if you ask him.
Well, he won. Yeah. We're going to get there, too.
We'll get there.
We could get there. It might be a warm intro to it. It's going to get worse. I think it's going to get worse as he continues to struggle. He continues to miss on his political hit jobs on his opponents. The comrade thing. I mean, is that appropriate? I mean, is that loving? I mean, literally came out there and said he hated Taylor Swift. I hate Taylor Swift. Do you know of any president ever, or former president or political candidate who went to their social media and told the world that they hate somebody? That they hate someone because why? Is it the music? I doubt it. Because she endorsed his political opponent and therefore he hates her. I don't ever remember Ronald Reagan, Nixon, any of the Bushes. I don't remember anyone talking like that. I hate Taylor Swift. And to what end? Like, are you gonna motivate your megas even more? Because you just made a lot of people mad. A bunch of people signed up in the state of Wisconsin after Taylor Swift said that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not leadership. That's not toning it down. That's not you know, working for we the people. Again, I get there's competition. This is a competition. It's politics. But when you come out and you talk like that, then at the same time, lament that your political opponents, in this case being Biden and Harris, are somehow responsible for people taking shots at you based on their rhetoric, quote unquote. Could you articulate specifically what you think they said that made Butler happen? Can you articulate what they said that made this incident in your golf course in Florida happen? Because my understanding of this gentleman in Florida who got the serial number obliterated on his gun as a felon who shouldn't have it in the first place was that he supported Trump in 2016. And then he fell out of favor with them because of his Ukraine policy, I guess. I mean, a lot more to come out on that. And the other guy, the young adult male who was killed by the Secret Service after his assassination attempt, of course, murdered some of the people that are at least one person, injured others at that rally. That was more specifically a crime of opportunity. The guy was Googling.
Oh, he was going to go for any high profile person he could find.
So if you want to talk about, you know, the weapons of war in the hands of everyday citizens and some citizens that are a little less everyday, maybe not all quite there. You want to talk about how we regulate firearms in this country? I'm down for that conversation. I'm a gun owner. I'm okay with that. I don't have a Tommy gun. Oh, I understand this guy. Also, one of his convictions, apparently had lots and lots of convictions, was because he had an illegal automatic machine gun. Now, you can get those with the proper regulation. You hear that, you know, gun owners? And most gun owners are fine with that. And I've shot, you know, AR-15s. I don't own one, but I've shot them. They're amazing, terrible weapons. I mean, it is a point and click. It is not even right. It's so easy. Shotguns are harder, man. There's a recoil on those things. You know, pistols only go so far. These things, man, you should go down range, point and click, and it just pops. Those are offensive weapons of war that should not be on the streets. And add a bump stock, and now you got yourself basically a machine gun. But apparently this guy had a real machine gun, not a bump stock. So he was convicted of that, not supposed to have any guns, but he still got a gun because, you know, it's America. Anybody can get a gun. 855-752-4842. A little more from CNN. Apparently Secret Service argued that there's not much difference in security at Trump's Mar-a-Lago estate between now and 2017 when the former president was in office. Ronald Rowe Jr. said Monday there is a heavy uniformed presence and additional assets of Secret Service around the Florida property. When you look at that footprint when Trump was in office and you look at it today, there's not much difference there. There is heavy uniformed presence out there. He emphasized that Trump's round of golf on Sunday was not on his official schedule, referring to it as an off-the-record movement. We put together a security plan, and that security plan worked. CNN reported that following the assassination attempt on Trump in July, that the Secret Service moved to increase assets to an already enhanced security posture for the former president, said the same guy, Rowe. In the days that followed, President Biden made it clear he wanted the highest levels of protection for the former president, for former President Trump and for Vice President Harris. The Secret Service moved to sustain increases in assets and the level of protections sought, and those things were in place yesterday. And finally, apparently, the Secret Service said that as former President Trump was moving through the fifth fairway across the course and out of sight of the sixth green, the agent who was visually sweeping the area at the sixth green saw the subject armed with what he perceived to be a rifle and immediately discharged his firearm. Rowe continued that the subject, who did not have a line of sight to the former president, fled the scene. He did not fire or get any shots off at our agents. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And the word, the magic word, it's the word, it's jewelry. It's the goal for the green and gold contest. You got hourly winners, got a grand prize winner. Jewelry, text it to your local station. Play the game with us and join us on the lines, 855-752-4842.
But nobody likes me.
You talk about extreme.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge.
You want it, the thing that makes me.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Now, like a little out of the norm for the music genre, but, you know, sometimes it's very topical. Thank you, Jess. And this one is from last week. I saw that Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, vice presidential candidate for this election, was in Wisconsin. And I was, you know, reading up on the articles. What was he doing? What was he saying? And then I came across this one from the USA Today, Rex Hupke, entitled, "Walls Used a Straw for a Milkshake. Fox News is Absolutely Right to Attack His Masculinity."
My goodness, Dom. A straw in a milkshake?
What is happening here?
Fall of Western civilization.
As the presidential elections draws near, I'm happy to see my good friend and fellow manly man, Jesse Waters of Fox News, holding Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz feet to the fire on issues real Americans care about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm referring, of course, to milkshake masculinity. I think there's a little tongue-in-cheek going on here. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday, again, this is, I guess, 10 days ago, Waters said on his network, quote, again, I love it when, like, Jesse Waters talks about masculinity. So here's what he had to say. "Women love masculinity, and women do not love Tim Walz. So that should just tell you about how masculine Tim Walz is. The other day you saw him with a vanilla ice cream shake, had a straw in it." Again, that tells you everything.
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 Everything in his vanilla ice cream shake.
Now, I would say, if you ever try to drink a Wendy's, because those are not quite shakes, that's like full on. You got to use a spoon for those things. I mean, that's different, though. That's different. We're talking about just a regular shake. Women love masculinity, and women do not love Tim Walz, so that should just tell you about how masculine Tim Walz is. The other day you saw him with a vanilla ice cream shake, had a straw in it. Again, that tells you everything. Now, as the author Rex goes on to write here, well, first off, as Waters demonstrated, the properly masculine He-Man way to say vanilla shake is vanilla ice cream shake. Vanilla ice cream shake. That's how every real normal man says it, whether at Dairy Queen, the McDonald's drive-thru, or your local ice cream shop. Don't ask for a vanilla shake. That's weak. You ask for a vanilla ice cream shake. It's firm. There's no ambiguity about the vanilla ice cream shake contains, and you're making it clear it's a full-fat, genuine American milkshake.
Yeah.
And not some delicate hippie oat milk beverage. I like oat milk.
It's good.
Not clear how Tim Walz's masculinity will recover from Strawgate, Rex goes on to write. More importantly, sharp-eyed Waters absolutely nailed Walz by noticing that he was consuming his vanilla ice cream shake with, and if you have male children in the room, make sure they don't hear this, a straw. A straw.
Oh my God.
Straws, as all the bros banging plates around down at the gym will tell you, are the least masculine way for a man to drink a vanilla ice cream shake. I mean, what kind of alpha male needs a dainty plastic tube to imbibe their thick American ice cream shake? You may as well donate your man card to someone else if that's how you're going to consume a frozen dairy dessert. Am I right, fellow dudes? Of course I am. No serious dude ever doubts whether he's right. This is a little close to home over here. I'm so glad Waters broke this news about Walz and his effete milkshake consumption methods. Because new polling shows Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris' straw-using running mate is somehow viewed more favorably than deeply macho Republican VP pick J.D. Vance. I don't think Vance would be caught dead using a straw. It might briefly occupy his man mouth and prevent him from sharing important masculine thoughts on women needing to have more babies. You know, that's got to be very efficient on that message.
Got to make sure that we all hear that.
A new USA Today poll found 40% of likely voters view straw man Walz favorably, while only 36% look favorably on Vance. Walz is also leading Vance, and I can't believe I have to type this, among women. What? Jesse Waters said that women like masculine men and that women don't like Walz. Of course, the polling will indicate differently. And therefore, I guess I'm not sure. Clearly, his poll was taken pre-Strawgate before the women of America learn that Walz sips his vanilla ice cream shakes in an anti-masculine manner. Now, I imagine some of you are wondering how a virile man is meant to move the vanilla ice cream shake from its cup to his tough, red-blooded gullet. There are two acceptably masculine approaches. The first, simply open your pie hole, raise the shake high, being mindful to flex your bicep while doing so, and hork the entirety of the milkshake down in one gulp. Brain freeze is only a problem for soy-based liberal men. If the massive sugar rush causes your pancreas to explode, all the better. Real men enjoy exploding organs. And that's the first thing I saw when I saw this. You have to use a straw or brain freeze guaranteed.
Right.
Come on. The second and most masculine option is to throw your vanilla ice cream shake into the air and shoot it with the handgun you carry at all times, because you're brave. As the shake contents rain down, you catch the droplets in your mouth while holstering your gun. Then you continue to explain to a nearby woman why she actually shouldn't worry about her reproductive rights, because Vance and GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump have it handled. Boy, drinking a vanilla ice cream shake with a straw. Good luck recovering from that fiasco, Tim Walz. And he has the nerve to call us weird.
That article made me laugh so hard. That was a good little thing.
We need
that sometimes. We needed that last week.
Yeah, for real. So we got to it now. I can't believe we didn't get to it then. But what?
There were a couple things happening. You know?
A few things. But just Jesse Waters. You know, are you the determinant of what masculinity is? I'm just for real here. I mean, bro, do you even do legs, man? You know.
Bro, come on.
Man, a leg press, some squats, man, maybe some lunges. You got to keep that butt round, man. You gotta keep working. Sit there and do curls all day long, man. That's you ever deadlift, bro?
Bro. Huh?
Bro?
Bro.
Up downs? Ever, you know, some thrusters, maybe? you know, Joe Biden will take him behind the shed and do some push-ups with him. So there you go, folks. Jesse Waters from the Foxy News. I hope that Tim Walz can overcome. I think he will. He was in the state. He's been traveling a lot. He's going to be traveling more. Kamala Harris also coming to Madison on Friday. Walz was here. We'll get to some of that. And, of course, J.D. Vance, the other guy, well, he was not backing down. He was all over the Sunday shows yesterday being not so masculine. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Your call is always welcome, 855-752-4842. Remember, you only got a couple minutes left. The word of the day is jewelry.